All right.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Ezekiel chapter 43. Ezekiel chapter 43. Almost done with Ezekiel. I've read it many, many times. However, this one is hard to understand. It started out in chapter 1 about the four Gospels, the four living creatures, not beasts, living creatures. Therion is beast, but just creatures means they're alive. And that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so the Gospels is first chapter, and you have to read that. How did this guy know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before the New Testament was ever written? This is 600 B.C. So that's 2,600 years ago. And when God then spoke Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John through those persons, he spoke the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. And wow, I live by that. That's totally my life. It's an unseen world. I can't believe that anybody believes this. I stagger that. I don't stagger at the doubters. I stagger at those that believe it and live it. Oh my gosh, that is a miracle. Because there's no way to prove an unseen world. It's just a book about an unseen world. I happen to believe that's more real than real. So everything here is unreal. I believe this world is subject to the devil. Subject to the devil. The world. We're not part of the world. We've been, by faith, we've been transformed by the power of Almighty God from an unseen world. And I believe that, and there's no way to prove it. There's no way to prove it except you read the Word. And everybody that's read the Word, just objectively, you don't have to read it to get something, just read it. It's too good. It's just good news. It's amazing. And that's why you can just preach out of the Bible and people get saved, delivered, set free, peaceful, and so on and so forth. And I believe that, and I believe it's the only thing the world needs to see. Ezekiel means, what does it mean?
Strength. God is our
strength. So God is our strength. He's the strength of his people, Israel. And if Israel isn't saved, we won't be saved. If God doesn't keep his promise to Israel, he's not going to keep his promise to us. However, because we believe, he counts that as righteous, even though we're not. You still have sin in your life. And it's still, it's today. You have sin in your life today. Isn't that amazing? Yet, I don't believe in the sin. I believe in Jesus' promise to take away all unrighteousness. Cleanse me. Clean me up from all unrighteousness. Perfect me in love. Forgive all my sins. I believe that. And I'm happy. I'm totally happy. Happiness always leads to holiness, not the other way around. People think if they're holy, they'd be happy. Uh-uh. No, no. If you're happy, you'll be holy. Why am I happy? Because of what Jesus did. This Bible is not about you and me. It's about God. It's all about God. And God's whole focus is on Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He sent him to be the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. So you can't beat that. That he wants to forgive, cleanse, purify, and perfect everything that he spoke. From the foundation of the world. No. Before the foundation of the world. Before it. All spiritual blessings were given to you before this world was ever created. Before. That's amazing. You can find that in Colossians, but you also can find that in Ephesians. So if all the spiritual blessings, everything, I mean without exception, is already yours, It's already yours. That's before there even was a world. I wasn't even known by the angels. They didn't even know me. But God knew me. And that's all that matters. So since God wanted me to be happy in this world, regardless of my sinfulness, regardless of the fact that I have enmity against God, regardless from the fact that I want to rebel against his word, which is always pointing out my sins, regardless of all that, I love God today with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and I love my neighbor, beginning with Peggy, as myself, beginning with Peggy. And she's a lot more difficult than I thought. She's a lot more difficult than I thought. Yeah, you're more difficult, yeah. I'm totally confident that Jesus will keep his promise and do everything he said he will do. And so I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing, and I'm happy all the time. She can tell you, I'm always happy, always peaceful, always whatever. How did I do it? I didn't. I did not do that. Jesus did it. Submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So it's easy to get rid of the devil as long as you submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. And I do. So I'm a saint. You can say St. James if you want. I'm a saint. But I'm not a saint because of behavior. I'm a saint because of my faith in God to keep his promise, his covenant. Yes. That's also in Ephesians, the first chapter. All of that is in chapter 1 and Colossians and others. But this amazing gospel, good news, has changed my life. I wouldn't love a guy like me if I were God. But he does, and I can't make him not love me. If he says he loves me, and I can't do anything to make him do it, but he says he wants to do it, I can't make him not want to do it. If he says I love you unconditionally, I'm accepting that. In other words, he's saying, rejoice today, you're my beloved, and I will perfect you. Wow. Go for it, Jesus. I don't even know how to help you. You can't. It's already done. I did it on the cross. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world did that. Now I'm coming back, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and you'll be ready by then. The minute I come back, the second, the nanosecond I come back, I'll have perfected you. Wow. In a twinkling of an eye, when that trump sounds, that shofar up in heaven, and Jesus is coming, boop, right then I'll have my new body, my new soul. I'll be brand new heart, soul, body, everything. It'll have my character, it'll have my walk, it'll have my, I mean, everything will be holy about me, and I'll see it. But today I believe in it without seeing it. I don't have to see it to believe it. I don't want to see it. I'm not even trying to see it. I'm not even reading the Bible so I see it. I don't want to see it because he said you won't see it. You won't see it. So nothing in this world will prove God. So why do people believe? It's good news. It's all on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? I mean, if God is on your side, who can be against you? I can't even die unless God approves of that. Yeah, that'd be good. Send him home. But if he doesn't approve, the devil can't do anything. He is impotent. He is inept. He can't do anything. Just give him to me. You get to take that favor away from him, and he'll curse you to your face. And I would, if God took the favor from me. Because, okay, you can do everything except kill him. Don't do that. I'm the resurrection from the dead. I'll do that part. So, you could even kill him. I still love him. Wow. That's what Job put his hand over his mouth and said, uh-oh. I'm overwhelmed. Now, remember this year, you probably don't, but I'm going to remind you. This year, when my heart is overwhelmed, what will I do? When my heart is overwhelmed, in other words, I'm worried about the world, the economic, political, military. I'm worried about that, the Martians, you know, whatever people fear. When your heart is overwhelmed, what? Just look at the rock. Take your eyes on the rock that is higher.
Mm-hmm. I can't even find the rock. You don't have to leave me.
Yeah, that rock is invisible. But you're going to find the rock that's higher than you are. Mm-hmm. In other words, it'll come to you. It'll come to you. The rock will come to you. I didn't even know I was asking for that. Now, the problem with people today is they're not desperate. They're not desperate. So, but the truth is, as David just said, you're always desperate and you didn't know it. And so you're desperate at any time. So call out to God daily. Show me all my sin, Lord, all of it. But just do one at a time. I can't remember two sins. I think I could handle one. And so God will show you the recent, you know, onion peel that's right there. This is the one that's bothering you today. So the Holy Spirit, he shows you your sin every day, but he doesn't show you all your sins. You couldn't handle them. You'd be overwhelmed. So he just shows you one. This is your sin. And Peggy had a dream the other night, and she shared it after the next. And that gives me hope that God is working on her to show her, because she prayed, God, show me all my sins. And he did. And then after that, God showed me my sin supernaturally. And whoa, I never would have thought of that. I never would have thought of that. But he showed me, you have to die for your wife. You have to die. I'm not talking about physical death. He's talking about psychological death. It's all your fault. You were the head of the house. You did a horrible job as head. I don't know if Dan has showed you that. A little bit, maybe. But husbands aren't perfect. I don't know if you've noticed this about husbands, Janet.
Oh, yes. Not perfect.
Not perfect. But you know what? He always sets you in the midst of a sinful world, knowing that he's the only one that can help you to make it through that sinful world. So nobody in this life is perfect. But you have a promise. You have a promise from God. So let's read the 43rd chapter. See if we can make heads or tails. Afterward means what preceded it. So afterward, God was speaking about separating the profane from the holy. He was speaking about making a separation in the temple between the profane area and the holy area. In other words, between the church and the state. In other words, the church is nothing more than saying the temple is nothing more than the dwelling place of the living God on earth. And the dwelling place of the living God on earth is now us.
Hallelujah.
You're the dwelling place. You're spiritual beings. You're no longer of the flesh. You've been transformed daily into his image and likeness. You've been transformed daily into his image and likeness. Something imperfect in you, don't worry about it. Jesus will take care of it. He knows everything because the Holy Spirit is like a light. And he can find the darkest, secretest things you have. And he wrote the Bible to ferret out those secret sins you have that you didn't even know about. I mean, it isn't like I know about it and won't do it. It's like I don't even know about what my sins are. But when he shows you, they cut you so severely to the heart. Just like I cut my finger the other day. And all the way to the bone. And the blood spurted out everywhere. Putting a rag on it didn't help. I mean, it just was bloody. And then I went into the sink and it all bloodied up. And so everything was red, red, red. I mean, really beautiful red. And it filled the whole sink, and I thought, I think I'm not going to do this anymore because it keeps coming out.
Dad, I want to know what your next point is.
Yeah, my next point. I've forgotten already what my next point was. Cut to the heart. So the cut to the heart is when God shows you a sin, it cuts you to the heart. Otherwise, it wasn't a sin. It cuts you to the heart. You don't just recover. It changes your life forever. Wow, I didn't even know that was my deepest sin or the next sin you're showing. I didn't even know that. But it cuts me to the heart so that I can't just live normal. I have to deal with that. Wow, what can I do? Nothing. Perfect answer. Nothing. You can't do what God can do. You're not God. So he sees the heart, and through the Holy Spirit, he reveals those things to you every day. Because you can't go to heaven unless you have one sin remaining, you won't go. One sin remaining, you won't go. If you break the law in one part, you're not going. So if you're under a law and you break it in one part, you can't go. So under the law, I couldn't go. But by a promise, I can go. By a promise, he said, the good work I began in you, I will surely, certainly complete, fulfill, finish. That's why he said on the cross, it's finished. What? Jim's salvation. What? That you just started. Yeah, but I've already finished it. Just by my death, that will lead to everything else, which is the fruit of that. And then I'll come back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, punish the wicked, deliver the righteous. Boom, you'll be in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. World without end. Now, this temple, I cannot locate it. I cannot locate this temple. It's weird. It's different than any other temple. And it has to be at the end. It can't be the first temple of Solomon. It can't be the second temple, you know, which they tried to rebuild by the Persians and then remodeled by Herod. It can't be that one. This one is weird. And by the way, this took place in 600 B.C., before Jesus. And this was when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, which was repeating Babel, that is Baal, that is the Tower of Babel, confusion. And that's why there's so much confusion in the world today. Everyone is a living contradiction. Everyone, even Christians. You find in you two wills, mine, his. You find that in you. Everything is, I want pleasure. That was my flesh. I don't want pleasure. I want to do the will of God. That was God. So now you have a contradiction inside yourself. Seek pleasure, avoid pain. Everybody in the world wants that. I'd like to have pleasure all the time and then avoid all the pain that people have by looking at sad things. And so I don't want the pain. I don't want to confront that. Anyone seeking pleasure will not find it. It never has anyone ever found pleasure in this earth. You're trained to run, you know, track, and then you break your leg. I'm just telling you, you're looking for pleasure, you're going to find pain. That's the way it goes. Jack, I don't even know how this.
Put it on the tie.
Put it on tie. Put it where it belongs. So, sorry, I put my hand in my pocket.
Don't touch anything.
Yeah, don't touch anything. I'm fragile. So, anyway, this fresh water comes out of the Dead Sea. It's 33% salt. So out of the salt sea, out of the Dead Sea, everything is dead. No fish, no nothing, no life. But someday it'll be fresh when this temple is built. when this temple is built, that'll be fresh. So it has to be after Jesus returns or as he returns. So it might be not the one on earth that the Jewish people give sacrifices from. And they're building it right now. David's been there to Israel. And you've seen the candelabra, that is the lampstand. You've seen the robes that the high priest wears. You've seen the all the incense that's made out of, I don't know, 72 items or something. You've seen all of that that's all ready for the temple, but the temple hasn't been built because they haven't figured out, and they have actually, a secret. They don't want everyone to know this because it would be World War III. It's not on the Temple Mount where everybody thinks it is. That's the Dome of the Rock for the Muslims. The Muslims worship there. But it's not there. It's 600 feet below in the city of David, the old city of Zion, where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. Where? In other words, we're not in the place you think. It's over the Gihon Spring. It's over springs of water. And, you know, Margo and I were just in Israel a few months ago. And we walked down to that spring and then went up through the place you can walk up where they dug it out from the upper city. And if anyone attacked that city, they could then wash all the blood of the lambs and so on, goats and bulls and all that. And all the blood runs out. We found it. They found it now. So it's 600 feet below. And it's steep. It's so steep that even walking, you're tired because, you know, it's really steep. Have you been there? It's awesome. I mean, it's like, whoa, you need a cab. You know, it's got, when you're young, I went there in 25 years ago or something. I went there, and then it was easy for me because I was young.
43
years.
43
years. Give or take. Whenever, yeah. So anyway, it was fun for me to run up the hill and so on. So I ran up everything that you could run up. You know, I don't want to take that, you know, train thing, that the thing that goes up the mountain. I'll run up there. And I did. But you're young. But as an older person, you don't want to go up there. So now I take cabs everywhere. Margaret enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I need a cab. But they're everywhere. They're everywhere. So Israel is a place that, if you haven't visited it, it's a great place to go. They have all modes of transportation, trains, buses, cabs, you know, tour buses. They have everything, cars and so on. We took a car this time because I know the land of Israel rather well, because I even came up from Egypt a long time ago and rode on camels. And then stayed in Bedouin tents along the way. And that was powerful. It said, you know, would anyone like to have this kind of tour? Yeah, that'd be cool. But I'll tell you, the nights are cold. I mean, it's cold at night. And it's hot in the day. It's hot. It's, you know, it's horrible. And especially camels. Riding on the camels. You know. But then again, I had a ball. But we went with a big group, and that was fun for everybody to go on those camels. I'm not going to pull it out. Just simply putting my hand in my pocket. All right. So afterward, separating this from that, God is always interested in two things. One, holy. The other, not holy. And he wants the profane, the common, the unholy, never to mix with the clean, holy, set aside by God. Something for God. He always separates on earth those two things. Church, state. Always. Especially the true church. He wants that separate from the government. He doesn't want the government running that. And in German it's Freiwilligkeitskirche versus the Volkskirche or Volkskirche. And so he wants the real church, his church, to be separate from the other religions, whether they're Christian or not Christian. There are a lot of other religions that call themselves Christians but are not. They're lukewarm. And so they're Christian in name, but they're not Christian in walk. So there's a big gap. So God always separates the holy from the unholy. Big deal in this Ezekiel temple. All right? Afterward, he brought me, Ezekiel, the strength of Israel. 43, verse 1. To the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. How do you enter into the temple of God? And this is true of the whole world. All the, if you read Ugarit, if you read the cuneiform tablets in Babylon or Persia or Egypt, you'll find out they have a word for justice, and their word's different. Shamash in Babylonian, and then in Hebrew, it's a different word altogether related to the word tzaddik, which means righteous, but it's particularly mesharim, which means equity. Jesus is going to rule the world with equity, equal to the fact that God, when he originally created the world, he put in you his law. Everybody has a conscience. He wrote it with this index finger. With this finger, he writes on the heart, Dan, you belong to me. Don't let anyone else be over you. I'm sending my son. He will be the mediator between you and me. So no pope, no emperor, no pastor, nobody can be between you and the Lord, even wife. Even wife. You have to have just Jesus between you and God. And so that's what I'm teaching Peggy today is, you know, I'm not God. Now, she knows that, but she sometimes makes a mistake and says, Jesus. She makes that mistake. Peggy, I'm not Jesus. I know that. Okay, so she knows that. But the truth is, we mix up people with God. Sometimes we think, you'll get married, you'll think it'll be beautiful. It won't. It'll just be horrible. It'll just be awful. You seek pleasure, you get pain. You seek to do good for God, you'll do evil. I mean, everything inside of you is a contradiction. So, Peggy, the only way you can defeat the devil, well, I don't want to feel sorry for myself. I don't want to be happy like you are and so on. Well, you can't. So don't look to me. Look to God. Read the Bible. Submitting yourself under the mighty hand of God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. 1, 2. You got to do one in order to get two. Amen? So if you're not reading the Bible every day, you're in trouble. Because every day it's good news and every day he wants to show you a sin. And you read it and you realize, well, I don't do that. Huh? That's a sin. Well, I should have done that, but I didn't. Okay, that's a sin. So you have to confess the sin. Don't do anything about it. Just confess it. Lord, I exaggerated. Lord, I was jealous. Lord, I was seeking pleasure. Lord, I did everything wrong. God is totally cool with that. So don't be afraid to read the Bible every day because it'll show you your sin. Everything in you is sinful. Everything, 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 everything. The only thing that's not, the Word of God. The only thing that's not, holy. Holy. So, since God is holy and he loves you unconditionally, you don't have to worry about a thing. That's faith. I believe that God loves me unconditionally, even though I have flaws and mistakes and, you know, forgetfulness and so on and so forth. I believe he loves me. Do you believe that, Janet? Yeah, well, it's true. That's true. And even though you're married to David and he makes mistakes, just forget him. Just say, you know, you're forgiven. It's so cheap. You can just cheaply say it. Because God is not looking for your non-cheapness. He's looking for you just to say the words he said to say. Not how sincere you were and how genuine you were and how you'll follow it up. How many know that when you have a sin and you confess it, it's still going to be there? Just because you confessed it, and that's all he wants. Just confess it. Did you exaggerate? Yeah. So you have to say that. God, I exaggerated. It was 4, not 2. You know, so on. You have to be perfect with God. And how can you do it? You can't. So just say the words back to him that he said to you. Just use these words and just give them right back. He's going to point out your sins, because if you have one sin, you aren't going to go in. But it's up to him to do it, not up to you. So he just wants you to know, don't worry about it. Sin. I already had Jesus die for that. And now, through the Holy Spirit, daily he's always cleansing you from all unrighteousness. And then later, you'll be perfected in love. Faith will be gone. Hope will be gone. And only love will be when you get married to him. You'll just have love and you'll see it. You'll see him and you'll see it. That you actually love him. Wow. How many know that every once in a while you feel love toward him, but every once in a while you don't? And so, today I don't want to read your Bible. You know, every once in a while you rebel. I just want to watch TV for a while. You know, and you just watch TV for a while. How many have done that? I mean, just, you know, every once in a while you just want to watch a shallow movie,
yeah,
a wicked movie, a detective movie, an outer space movie. You know, every once in a while, that's what you do. And you know it's wrong. And you're there munching your ice cream, looking at it, and so on. So it's okay. It's okay. You don't go to hell because of that. But that is a sin. And he will point that out. How many days did you fritter away your life? 14? 55? You know, but you don't know. But anyway, if he promises to do it, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. All you say is, sorry, did it. Thank you. And he does it. That's his job. That is a not person job. That is a God job. How many know God is in you to reconcile the world unto himself? So he's in you to do that. And he loves the whole world. He doesn't hate any sinner. Any sinner that's on the earth, he loves them. No other God is like that. Buddha's not like that. The Hindu thing is not like that. The Buddhist thing is not like that. The, you know, anything you look at, the Muslim thing is not like that. They hate this, but they do it in the basement. They hate all kinds of things, but they do it in the basement. You don't see it on the first floor. So the church looks good on the first floor because they're always, you know, doing their rituals and so on and so forth. But on the basement, all kinds of things happen secretly. And you know them, and sometimes you do them without even knowing it. You just do them. God, I didn't mean to do that. I did. Okay. Sorry. And God will forgive you every time. He is always a forgiving Father. He's never, ever been an angry judge or, you know, a wrathful judge. He's always been a loving Father. So this temple is really cool. He's looking toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. The glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. In other words, he came from Moab, Ammon, Mount Seir, where the Red Sea is. In other words, he came from the Edomites. Herod was an Edomite. And Agag, that guy, that Agag in the Old Testament, Haman, the Agagite. And so when it says Gog in your Bible, that's what it's talking about. Gog is Agag, whether you know it or not. So that's a certain place. It's right there. It's right there on the Dead Sea, right there at the south end. And so the Antichrist could come from that place. Because all three of those, one were the children of Lot. Remember, they slept with their father, and that's where the Moabites came from and the Ammonites. But the other ones were also relatives from Ishmael. And so that's Esau, the older brother, Esau, Jacob and Esau. Jacob is on this side of the river, but you know his brother is on the other side of the river, and they hate Israel. I mean, these people hate Israel more than, this is the Bible. The Bible's saying this. They hate them more than anyone else. And they're relatives. They're related to God's people. But they hate them and despise them. And when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, overthrew the city and destroyed the temple, the Esau people were there. The Esau people were there, the Edomites. And Herod was one, and the Haman, and all these people. In the Persian Empire, Queen Esther had to face the Agagite. He had to face Haman, the Agagite, and his 10 sons, and have them destroyed because they have the Bible says they have a fixed hatred that God knows about and said to them, when you come into the land, don't go against these people, their relatives. And I will deal with them myself. So don't do anything to them. Whatever they say, go along with it. We could just conquer them. Yeah, don't. They're relatives. How many know that God wants to deal with your relatives? He wants to deal with your relatives, right? Relatively speaking. And so he wants to deal with anyone that hates your guts. And it's because they grew up with you. They don't have anything good to say about you. Ah, that's my brother. He's always been like that. You know, that's my sister, you know, whatever. And so you have to realize, forgive your family members. As Christians, we forgive everybody. Even people that hate us, we just forgive them. And you say it out loud. You do. You say it out loud to God, not to people. You say it out loud to God. God, bless so-and-so. Bless so-and-so. And you learn, by the way, when you start praying for people, you end up loving them. And when something good happens, you don't go, phew. You go, hallelujah. Because you're praying for them. And when they ever ask you, well, you never loved me, you could say, I've been praying for you for years. Whoa, they're not expecting that. Because they know what they did wrong. They know what they did wrong. Isn't that amazing? God is so good. Amen. God is so awesome. Now, the east gate, he's looking out the east gate. That way. Looking, and all of a sudden he sees the glory of the Lord, which came from those three places. Did you know that after God judges Moab, Ammon, and after, and by the way, Moab is second. That's right across from the Dead Sea, the top of it. Whereas Esau is at the bottom of it, where the wife of Lot turned into a pillar of salt. That's why it's salty. Because God made a big explosion there. So it's, the first one is Ammon. That's one of the daughters slept with their father. And then the next one is Moab, right across from Jerusalem. And the next one is Esau. That's where God, after he judges those three tribes, he's also going to save some of them. How much? We don't know. But I'm just saying, whenever God judges, he always forgives some. He always chooses some. Many are called, few are chosen. So don't ever think that God just judges the world. No, no, no. Out of every nation, tongue, and tribe, every family on earth will have believers in heaven. Amen. Jew and Gentile. The Gentiles will outnumber the Jews. The Gentiles will outnumber the Jews. And so don't worry about it. God is fair. He knows exactly what he's doing. So just don't think that your mind won't help you in Christianity. You just need to realize your mind is a whore as far as Christianity is concerned, because it won't take you to heaven. You can think all you want, but it won't get you to heaven. You can feel all you want, but it won't get you to heaven. You can want all you want, but it won't get you to heaven. So those equipments that you have from God are not sufficient to get you to heaven without Jesus Christ, amen, the Son of the living God. So the only way you can go to heaven is if God wants you to, and he does. And he reveals that through Jesus. So I love to go to church because we go over the story. Now, this one is a hard one. Ezekiel's temple is weird, strange. Fresh water in the land of Israel, I mean, it will be fresh as soon as Jesus comes back again. Boop, fresh. And every field will be fertile. Every, without exception. So the finest fruits will come from the land of Israel. Wow. King David will rule in the millennium, 1,000 years, he'll rule over that city. And that over that city, it'll be the most flourishing place on earth because of the fresh water. Today, there's hardly any water. Whatever is in the Sea of Galilee eventually ends up in the Dead Sea, and it evaporates there. But that, he's going to renew that because there's lots of water there that you don't even know about in all those mountains. And all of a sudden, every place where there's water, it'll be fresh water. And fish will come out and they'll feed all the protein and all the stuff that people need. Everything will flourish. Do you believe that God is that good? And do you believe that God has rigged it up for you to win?
Hallelujah.
Do you believe that? Everything is rigged. This whole thing is rigged. My people, my people. So, and all you have to do to be my people, all you have to do is believe the word. You just have to believe the word. Dabar, the word of God, takes away the sins of the world, forgives you, cleanses you from all unrighteousness, perfects you in love, comes and marries you, gives you eternal life, Zoe. And God does everything. You don't need to worry about a thing. You just need to submit to him. How do you do that? You don't. He'll do that too. Just read the word. Just read the word. So here he is, all the glory. And only God, when God enters from the east side of this Ezekiel temple, which I think is in the mid-heavens, I don't think it's on earth, and that's where you and I will be. The Lamb and his bride, the Lamb and his bride. You'll be the bride. And in other words, you'll be his wife. You'll be the queen. You'll be the female counterpart to God. You'll never be God, but you'll be the queen. And you will then rule over Israel, which rules over the Gentiles. And so even Jewish, they don't even believe this. Even Jewish people today, they don't take it literally. I do. I take it literally. When God says something, that's the way he means it. And by the way, you cannot make God not take it literally. But literally, he died when Israel sinned. And literally, he died when you sinned. Literally. And so the letter of the law killeth, it kills Jesus. So the law was never given for Israel to keep. No law was ever given for Israel to keep because there is no law in heaven. Everyone's there voluntarily. Everyone's there happy. And those that are not, they're booted out. And all the false angels, they'll be judged. And they'll be in the lake of fire. Boom. That's over. And so as soon as Jesus comes back, this will all take place. So this is right after that. This Ezekiel temple will be in the mid-heavens where you will be. But that's not your final resting place. There's still a new heaven and a new earth right after that, after the 1,000 years. So there's a whole bunch of temples, Solomon's temple. And this one is very similar to Solomon's temple, only the gates, instead of being, you know, just a few feet wide, they happen to be, you know, like 1,500, you know, they're huge. These things are huge. And there's a gate on the north side, that's where the priests come. There's a gate on the south side, that's where the king comes, the king of Israel. And then he's called the prince. And then God only enters through the east side, then all other doors are locked. No north, no south. So when God is in the temple and he goes all the way into the Holy of Holies, where he's got a throne there, that throne is now in this part of this temple. And so you will see this 1,000 years of righteousness on earth. And that will indict the other 6,000. You could have had this all along. Civilization is now built on Satan's idea, not God's. God's idea was for everyone to be a servant of his, but that didn't even work out in his church. even the church, that we think we're better than Israel. Uh-uh. If Israel isn't saved, you won't be saved. Whatever happens to Israel is going to happen to you. However, if you're a Christian, you're not part of the world. You're not even part of this world. But all the other nations will be. And they will have trouble. But that trouble won't trouble you. You'll be in a house of refuge, and then you'll be safe and secure forever and ever and ever. You'll never go through wrath. Wrath is only for the wicked. It's not for the righteous. So you'll never face wrath. Could anyone say, because that's a great thing to know. You don't even go through the tribulation. Whereas the Jewish people do. Even the priests go through it. But then they'll be spared. Even though they're dead, they can be resurrected. Boom! The dry bones of the house of Israel is what this temple is all about. How do you get those dry bones? 37. That's in the 37th chapter. We've read it. And if you don't remember it, it's neat because the whole house of Israel, the whole house of true Israel, by faith, going back to Abraham, not by the law, by faith, they survive. Not only that, they are among the 12 tribes, and so there's 144,000 of them that are rescued from every tribe. 12 times 12, 144,000 for 1,000 years. And so they will be ruling over the whole world. And we'll be up in heaven ruling over them. Whatever Jesus says, we says. You know, we just do whatever Jesus does. Look at Jesus. Beholding him, we are changed. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the way you're going to live for all eternity. Always do what Jesus does, right? So you'll never have a life of your own. Isn't that sad? All you'll have is Jesus.
Glory to God.
All I want.
That's what I want. That's what I want. I don't want to think and feel, and I don't want all that. I just want Jesus, just Jesus. Whatever Jesus wants, I want. That's the law of the house. That's the law of the new master. That's the law of my husband, Jesus. Amen. And I want to be one of his. How many want to be one of his? Powerful. You know what? You will be one of his. Why? Because he chose you. He selected you before you selected him. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. So you are a lover. Say it, I'm a lover.
I'm a lover.
And how are you a lover?
Jesus.
Connected to Jesus. So Christ in you loves everybody. Christ in you loves even bad people. Christ in you. That's the way it is. So Christian, the church today is not exhibiting what I'm talking about. So are we mad at the church today? No. You actually have to bless them. You actually have to pray for them. You actually have to forgive them. And, everything that they don't deserve, give it to them. Yeah. Why? As a church. A church is not yourself. Yourself has to die. Yourself has to die. That's all I have is myself. Yeah, well, it has to die. But the minute it dies, you lose your life, you find it. Gee, I was made for this. That's the way he made you in the first place. He'll always return to his original idea. He's an originalist. He's the textualist. He's the one that goes back to his first intention when he created the world. I always wanted the whole earth to be submitted to me. In that 1,000 years, he'll have it. Israel will have her land back. The whole land. All the way to the Euphrates River. All the way up to Syria. All the way down into Egypt. And all of Africa. I don't know how far it goes. We only know where it goes, like Uganda. That's why we're there. But it could go way beyond that, all the way down to Zimbabwe, which Robert believes, and I think he's right, because that's where the gold came from. And that gold belongs to Robert, by the way. His family, his father, was the king. And the king of Zimbabwe was in charge of this huge cache of gold, the biggest find on earth. Solomon's temple, they're always looking for his gold. There it is. And Robert, actually, that's all his money. And so he, right now, he's funding the whole world, because Peter John Rhodes, not Peter, but whatever his name is, he actually won that over in the Boer War, and he kicked out the South Africans and took it over, and so on. So all that gold is why England today is in charge of the gold. She's the one that sets the standard. And so every country needs that. They have to have that. Because that, in case your currency falls, the gold won't. However, don't worry about it. Because even though it's taken from him, you can't take it from a man who inherits it. And so it's all his. It's powerful. And he is related. In fact, his family goes all the way back to King Solomon. And so he's a king. He's an Israeli king. Did you hear what I just said? He's not just a black king. He's an Israeli king. Both. So he's king in Africa, all of it. And his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, and it goes way back, is now Monomotapa in his language. And so he's a pretty powerful fellow. He is pretty amazing. And God had him pray when he was in his country, Zimbabwe. And he prayed, and God said, go to Australia. And this is the wife of your house. This is the woman you're going to marry. And she's a white woman. And he sees her, and it's Janet. And one day, when he goes to Zimbabwe by a miracle, he goes there.
Australia.
I'm sorry?
Australia.
Australia. When he goes there, after speaking, because he was the only, he had to have Parliament change the law for all of Australia that a black man could actually go there, because no black man would ever go in there. Never. It's the law. Can't do it. But he got there, and then he gave a speech, and Janet walked up to him and said, I enjoyed your speech. And he said, I'm going to marry you. I mean, he just right away just said, I saw you in a dream. And this is your third drawer down. And in that is this. And he explained the whole thing out of the dream. Then he had another prayer when he came to Los Angeles, coming to America, because God said, you're going to go to America. And there you're going to meet a man. And you're going to work with that man. Me. That was funny. That's kind of a sense of humor that God has. A complete zero me. But he met John Wilkerson's uncle. And he was the head of the whole group in Fort Worth. And all of the ministers all gathered together. I mean, a lot of them. Lots of. A big group. And he met them and he said, oh, I hope it's John, the leader. He wanted it to be, you know, someone that he could identify with. And he said, and I hope it's not Jim. I hope it's not him. But at the end, John turned to me at the end of the meeting and said, Jim, do you have a word from the Lord? And Robert had been told this. This is how you'll know who he is. He's going to turn to him and he's going to say, well, I'd like to have the man from Africa, we don't know him. I'd like to have him say who he is. I don't have a word today. That's my word. And say, what? And they were prejudiced. You know, what is he doing here? And so the prejudice kind of came out, kind of the Southern presidents. Anyway, and all of a sudden, and then Robert said, and the man will walk up to you and say, would you like to preach at a Lutheran church this Sunday? And I did. And he said, yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll come, because God spoke to him. He didn't have a choice. So I prayed it wouldn't be you, because you're way, you know, too smart and all that kind of junk. But I was the one that always prophesied. I had a word every time I went, but this word was that I want to know him. I want to know that man. Have him speak. And so, but he had vowed, and I'm never going to go back to that group again. But then, anyways, how many know God has a sense of humor?
Yeah.
He has a great sense of humor, and he can put you together with sinners. he can put you together with people that might not work out.
Yeah.
He does that. And so this whole thing that God has rigged up is for the king who comes in from the southern gate, big gate, huge gate, 150 feet. So 150 feet is bigger than this room. I mean, it's huge. It goes way back. North, south, and east. The Mediterranean Sea is on the west side, so there's no door. So you go into the Holy of Holies, but there's no door on the other side. It's the Mediterranean Sea. And so at the north, the priests are. They come in that gate. At the south, that's where the king has his palace. And it's profane, not holy. That will be the man after God's own heart, King David. Says that. Says that in the book of Ezekiel. Be King David. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's literally true or whether it's spiritually true. But whoever it is, because David did pray this prayer in the 10th verse of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Because I know all the sins I've sinned, I'll probably do them again. I'll probably count the people again, and I'll probably, you know, could you just give me a new heart? And God didn't answer that prayer. But this time, he may answer that prayer, and King David will rise from the dead. The whole house of Israel, chapter 37, he will enter, and he may then be the king of Israel again. And renew a right spirit within me. That's powerful. That's powerful. So I believe this is going to be a perfect world that's ahead of us. Right now, you have to tough it out in this world. How many know you don't get always your own way?
Amen.
Peg is saying it's time to quit. So I have to quit. And I just started. But I have to quit. And I love it. I love that God can always change your plans. And Peggy rules in our family. That is, whatever she wants, that's the way we do it.
It works better that way.
I'm the head, but she's the neck that turns the head. I mean, I just like turned it away. So I can't read all these good things, but I want to go close with this. At verse 12 of 43, this is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, Mount Zion, the whole limit thereof, round about, shall be holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. So everything in the house of God, we're in the house of God. Do you know who it is? Who is the house of God?
Jesus.
Yeah, it's everyone else in here.
Yeah.
The reason that you're holy is because God set you aside for his holiness. So everybody in here is the house that he's building, not the building. The building is not the building. It's just a building. And it returns to common use after we're done with it. And so we don't care if it's we own it or we don't care if we don't own it. We don't care if we rent it. We don't care. Just we can use it. And so God isn't interested in the building because we're the building that he's building. We're a spiritual house. We're a spiritual people. We've been born of the Spirit. We're daily filled with the Spirit. And we are going to be led of the Spirit. Then Jesus will come back. Because you'll be the sons of God. So, what this whole temple is saying, we'll read it again. What this whole temple is doing is telling you how the future is. The future is that this temple will probably be up in the heavens. It will not be on earth. You're going to rise up. You rapture up to the heavens. And that rapture is pre-wrath, but post-trib. Post-trib, but pre-wrath. But where will we be during the tribulation? Probably in Texas. Probably in the Texas. Because there's many refuge houses around the world. And the black people actually think it might be the old railroad that they came up with, the Underground Railroad. And a girl in my school had one of those houses that you, if you go north, then stay at this house down in the basement, you know, whatever. And we went down in her basement and saw how they lived there. And they were sympathetic then to the black people being freed from the South when the South was oppressing them. And so how many know that, and the black people still believe that. They believe that he will go up the Mississippi River and then go to various spots. And they know where the whole house is. And that's why I'm the apostle to a whole bunch of black pastors, hundreds and hundreds of them, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I go every year, and we talk all the time. And so I'm the apostle, and I said to him, I'm not black. You're all black. They said, no, we're not black either. Well, what are you? Christian. Oh, well, then I could be your apostle. I could be your prophet. I can do that. As long as you're Christian, then there's no, we're new creation.
Right.
And they said it. I didn't say it. They just said, how can I be your leader? I can't be your leader. Well, are you an apostle? Well, yeah, but not yours. And they said, no. You could be yours. How could I be that? I don't even know anything about anything. He said, because you love Jesus. Ah, well, I do. Okay, well, you are now prophet, evangelist, whatever you want to be. Because they liked the word that I shared with them. And this is what I shared with them. I believe that a black man will rise in these last days, the day we live in. And a black man will lead the whole world, not like Nimrod, away from God, but like the new Nimrod, back to God,
yes,
through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So I said, I believe that. I preach that all over Africa, and they love it everywhere I go.
Yeah.
I'm the new Nimrod. A young person will just stand up. I'm the new Nimrod. Because they don't have any hope unless Nimrod is vindicated. So unless the black people have a leader who loves Jesus well as his heart, not just, you know, signs and wonders and miracles and so on, but actually be a leader appointed by God to lead the whole world, back to. Because the white man is finished, and the Jewish man is finished. They've done their jobs. Now it's their turn. For 2,000 years, from Abraham to Jesus, the Israel ruled. Now, Christ then said, you're cursed from now on. So now they can't rule unless they're resurrected. But now it went to the white folk. And now we've had it for 2,000 years and done a lousy job also. We haven't done the full job that we were supposed to be doing. We were supposed to be the light and the salt and, you know, the dwelling place of the living God. And so we have some that are messianic, some who are, you know, truly of God. But most of the church is lukewarm. They're not that interested. However, we win. And we have to pray for our enemies and be the light of this world and the salt of the earth. Salt is what you put to any offering you make. If you put salt with it, which is faith, then it's acceptable to God.
Yeah.
Apart from faith, you cannot please God. But with faith, you can please Him every time. So if you just do it and say, God, I don't know what it is because you'll have to judge it, but I did that by faith. He said, okay, I received that. Because you did it by reading my word. And if you do anything by reading my word, like I married Peggy, just reading the word. You marry that one. So I married her. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what reality is. It only matters what you believed. And God said, I count that. So I never did forsake her. I never did abandon her. I said, no, you're my wife forever and ever until Jesus comes. So how many know in heaven you're not going to be married? So if you want to be married, marry now. Because in heaven you're not going to be married. So it's good to marry someone who's a sinner. If you can find a sinner, marry that one. How many know that you married a sinner? And he's a sinner. That's a... It's a perfect marriage because you guys did wrong. And what God just forgives that, doesn't count that, just say, oh, be happy. How many know God can make anything work? All right.